In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin, and we are continuing our journey in the book of Exodus. And we're in Exodus chapter 14, verse 12, and the panic is all around the Israelites. Pharaoh and his chariots and his army are breathing down their neck, and they're approaching, and Israel is afraid. And they are complaining to Moses, saying, it's better not to die here. Let's go back to Egypt and be slaves again. This is crazy thinking. Now, if we go to the book of Hebrews, we get some more insight on this moment. Hebrews 3, verse 7 through 19. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses, now with whom he was angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, this section of Hebrews is speaking of the whole picture of this generation that came out of Egypt and how they were really disobedient to God. And many of them died in unbelief. And so here we are. Their back is against the Red Sea. Pharaoh is breathing down their necks, approaching them in chariots and horses. It seems like certain disaster. And in that moment of fear, they panic. They don't pray. They don't trust. Rather, they complain and they begin to mock and they begin to think that this was all wrong and they doubt. And this can happen to us, can it not? That's why the author of Hebrews writes this passage, challenging us not to have our heart hardened, not to fall back into sin, but to persevere, trusting the Lord. The question is this: when you are afraid, do you sometimes recast your perspective? Think about the Israelites. They were looking at slavery in Egypt as better than anything else at this point in time. I mean, how messed up is that perspective? But that's exactly what can happen to you and I when the pressure comes on, when it looks like disaster is upon us, and we immediately retreat rather than stand in faith. See, that's all that God's asking us to do. Stand in faith. Trust him in the situation. Don't panic. God's got it under control. Remain faithful. Those are the things that we must do. But let's give some leeway to these Israelites. This is a difficult situation, and God designed this situation for them so that they would learn to trust in him, even with an army chasing you down. Trust in the Lord. Now, faith in God's word is the only remedy for fear. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Now, being safe, what does that mean, right? If you're all concerned about creaturely comforts, about this life only, well, then you've misunderstood what it means to be safe. Because the truth is, we have a life. It's appointed for us to die once, and then comes judgment. When we think about security, we should be thinking about our spiritual security. And in Christ, we are secure. Do not fear the one who can kill the body, but fear the one who can cast body and soul into hell. That's the perspective that the Israelites needed to learn. And that's one we have to remind ourselves in difficult days. Now, Moses speaks to the people. He says, do not be afraid. In other words, don't dread. Stand still In other words, resist the urge to flee. And then he says, see. Now, these two words, stand and see, are commands in the Hebrew language. And that word see means to inspect the salvation. That is, the deliverance and the victory of the Lord. So in other words, stand, Israelites. And I want you to watch, closely watch, how God is going to deliver you to victory. See, Yahweh, the God of Israel, will accomplish all this. See the Egyptians? You shall see them no more again forever. Because the Lord will fight. He will do the battle on your behalf. And you Israelites, and this is a strong statement Moses makes, you Israelites, hold your peace. In other words, do not object, take no action, and be silent. And let me tell you, that is a hard thing to do when you're afraid. Especially if you have a leader that maybe you don't trust, or you have circumstances that look frightening and terrifying. It's easy for our flesh to panic and scream out and cry out. But it's a whole nother thing to be standing in the power of the Spirit, trusting the Lord, praying to the Lord, and being steadfast when things look bleak. See, the question is, where do you look and where do you focus when you're afraid? How do you respond when you're afraid? Do you flee? You just get out of Dodge? Do you freeze, paralyzed? Or do you fight? Or do you follow the Lord in prayer and obedience? Brothers and sisters, this is the key question. And let me tell you, if you don't start thinking about this today, and you don't start planning in your mind that you're going to follow the Lord in prayer and obedience, I will guarantee you that you will flee, freeze, or fight. And Peter, if you remember, in that moment when Jesus was betrayed, he tried to fight and he cut off the ear of one of those people that were there, and Jesus ended up healing that ear. But that wasn't the answer, was it? That's why Jesus rebuked him, put away the sword. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. For us Christians, our power must be in faith and in prayer and obedience. And we do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you're not cultivating that discipline now, if you're not able right now in the smallest of things be faithful and obedient, you're not going to be ready when the big things happen. The application here is this is the core concept in our walk with the Lord. Where do we set our gaze? Are we going to be like the Israelites, focusing on Pharaoh and being fearful? Or are we going to focus on the Lord and hold our peace? 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 11 helps us see the right perspective. It says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well-known to God, and I also trust are well-known in your consciences. Do you see the perspective that Paul is bringing out? He is trying to communicate to us through God's word that this life is temporal. And what matters is how we live this life faithfully to God, because there's a coming judgment, a judgment seat of Christ, not about sin, but to reward us for our faithfulness. I don't want you, brothers and sisters, to lose any reward. So be faithful. Keep your eyes on Christ. And when you see trouble, get down on your knees, pray, and stand in obedience to God. Now, let's get to chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. Let me read. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians that they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." Now, this is interesting. The people cry to Moses. Moses now cries to God, and God responds by saying, "Moses, why do you cry to me?" God's trying to communicate to Moses, "You need to tell these people to calm down. You need to calm down, Moses, as well. The time for praying and complaining is over. Get to work," all right? In other words, grab your rod. You've got a task to do. Now, God commands and informs Moses, "Israel, tell the children of Israel to go forward, and Moses, lift up your rod. Stretch out, Moses, your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on the dry ground through the midst of the sea." So now that they're standing, Moses has been directed by God. It's time for this incredible event of the parting of the sea. But also recognize that God has his hand also on Pharaoh and the army and the Egyptians. "I, God, will harden Pharaoh. They will pursue you." This is a shocking statement when you think about it. Here's the Israelites scared out of their mind, and they are panicking. And God says, "Yeah, they're going to keep coming. I'm not going to destroy them immediately. I'm going to let them pursue you a little bit longer." That's a hard thing to understand, isn't it? That God would allow this difficulty to continue a little bit longer. And this is something we've got to remind ourselves, that sometimes we get to a place of panic. If the Lord hasn't changed the circumstances, then he's asking us to be patient, to not be fearful, to continue in prayer, to be steadfast. But understand, the Lord is behind all this. He's in control. Now, the Egyptians will know, that means to hear and learn, that God is the true God. And God will gain honor, that is, he'll be glorified for himself. Only God receives the honor in this one because he's the one who does everything. Now, there's an interesting insight. As Israel is following God, Pharaoh and his army will be following Israel. This test of obedience is a problematic trial because without God doing something supernatural, there is no human or natural way to escape Pharaoh. And this is the key. If you're thinking worldly and you're thinking fleshly, you're not thinking that God could change the circumstances. And that's where the Israelites were. And this is a great lesson for you and I. We need not only to have earthly eyes, see things as they are, but we need to have spiritual eyes. We need to understand that God is more than able to change the circumstances. He may not, but he can. And the question is, can you trust the Lord in either outcome? Well, I pray that this week you will reflect on this situation. The next time you panic, the next time you're fearful, pray, be steadfast, and trust the Lord regardless of the outcome. But make sure through this process you are living out faithfulness and the gospel of Christ to those around you.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.